Say, I'm blessed. But this morning, we are really blessed. Right? Can you say,
Amen.
Person
Amen.
Next to you, that you are blessed?
You are blessed.
All right? You are blessed. We are blessed. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. It's going to be, we have something, you know, that we look forward and we could say we finish Matthew chapter 5 and we have some thoughts about it. Hope it will stay there and maybe one day you can, you know, we can use it, or maybe people will ask us what is the meaning of these verses and we can say something about it and maybe share the good news concerning these verses that we have, you know, that we have studied. Okay, this morning, actually, I forgot to add number verses 10. Actually, I'm sorry. Can you add number? Sorry. There's so many things that come to your mind and you forget. But these are two verses that you know, like they're connected to each other. If you will look at Matthew 5 once again, it's everything is connected actually. Every verse there that we have read and we have studied are connected to each other. Nothing is like can stand up and not be connected to the previous verse or the next verse. Okay? Again, let me repeat, there's a difference over here. When we say poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hunger and thirst, blessed are the merciful, which is we just studied last week. It says we have a heart aches for the people who are in need. You know, we want to share something for them. And blessed are the pure in heart. And we also mentioned there that our heart is always a deceitful, you know, thing. So we need a pure heart. And the only way that we can have a pure heart is to be connected with Christ. Right? Let God renew our hearts. Let God change our hearts. Because our hearts, you know, without God is deceitful. It keeps, you know, putting us in a sense that we are in trouble. You know? It's a deceitful situation in our heart. Only God can give us our pure heart. Okay, before we go on deeper on our subject, let's bow our heads, let's pray first. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that you will do your thing today. Thank you for allowing me, oh God, giving me opportunity to share what you have shared with me, oh God. I'm not the perfect person, oh God, but because of your blood, because of your righteousness, oh God, I'm here to speak with my brothers and sisters, oh God. So, remove me in the equation, oh God, and I pray that you will talk to us through me, oh God. And I pray that you will send the message of blessedness in all of us, including myself, oh God. Sometimes we doubt, and a lot of times we are weak. And a lot of times, oh God, the voice of the one beside us, oh God, is louder than your voice. And we have to trust that you are nearer than the world to us, oh God. Even though we live in the world, you pray that we will not be conformed to this world, oh God, but we being transformed every day by you through the Holy Spirit, oh God. Help us, oh God, help me. I know I have weaknesses, and I pray for that every day, oh God. Even the time that I cried in front of you, oh God, that you will heal my weaknesses and restore me, oh God, to my brothers and sisters. Please, O God, today we just want to seek your name. We want to seek your righteousness and be a blessing to a lot of people, O God. Thank you so much for giving us a place to gather once again, to sing for you, to honor you, to pray for you, to praise you, O God. And may we be a blessing also to a lot of people. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just told you that I'm not a perfect person here. You know? Sometimes they say, oh, you preach a good sermon. You are a man of God. Sometimes that gives me goosebumps, actually. But if you want to really throw me, if you really want to truly know me as my wife, as my kids, maybe ask my co-worker or spend time with me for some time, and you know, you will really know me. I'm a person like you. I'm impatient a lot of times, if I can say that. You know? And I pray to God that He will change me day by day. Because deep inside me, you know, I cannot teach you the things that I don't have. I can say it. I can maybe put a show on something, you know, that I, not really, but I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. I want to, when I stand over here, I want to, you know, tell you what God told me before. That's it. No more, no less. Anyone can preach a sermon, you know, and can be great, but it doesn't mean that, you know. My faith is we have to be a kingdom person by wearing the righteousness of God, you know. And God doesn't want us to put a show. He wants us to be real. He wants us to be true. And doing that, we can be a blessing to a lot of people. You know, it's just happened that we don't quantify it, or maybe we quantify it by our own scale, by our own understanding. But the thing is, if you're doing that, God will quantify and multiply it. I do believe that. Because people see us, you know. People comments on what we do. They see us when we are working with them in our workplace. They see us when we are there on the, you know, on the bus station, the subway station, you know, on the groceries, on the place that we go through, you know, when we are driving, you know, when we are on the bus, inside the subway, inside the train, you know, we can be ambassador of Christ, and we can be a blessing to us. So if you really want to know me, know me, who's Brother Saul, spend time with me, maybe ask my wife. What is he really like? You know, ask my kids. Ask my son Danjay, Dal, Fedora, Rachel. They can tell you who I am. I'm not proud of myself a lot of times. You know, when I look at the mirror, I see myself. You know, I have a lot of weaknesses. I have a lot of weaknesses. And I always pray to God that God will remove all those weaknesses. And this morning it says, let me read to you Galatians chapter, I don't want to share, I think Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It says, I've been wanting NIV version of the Bible. Not on my phone, but, you know. This is over here, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You know, sometimes we follow rules, and then we call ourselves spiritual. We do these things and we don't do these things. I don't go there. You know, I don't say these things. I act this way. You know, and I act that way whenever I'm in front of the people, and we call ourselves spiritual. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I think to be spiritual, just mentioned over here, we have to put Christ. We have to cloth Christ in our life. You know? We have to be day by day trying to cloth Christ. Maybe we can put it the fragrance of Christ. I heard that in one preacher. We have to put the fragrance of Christ. Because he was meek. He was poor. He was thirsty. You know? As those mentioned in the previous verse. Those are the Christ characteristics. You know? We don't have to say, oh, I didn't go in that place. I didn't say that. You know, I'm not doing this thing. No, no. We're not helping ourselves. You know? We cannot do enough righteousness in order to put on Christ in our life. Let's just put Christ in our lives and clothe ourselves with his fragrance so that we will be a blessing to a lot of people. People should see Christ. People should hear Christ. People should see and know that Christ is in us every day. I know it's not easy, but it's possible. Because Christ is always there. He changed a lot of people, and he can do it to you and to me. Yes. Give a full trust, and his fragrance will be in us. And he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Sometimes we call ourselves the ministers of reconciliation, right? That's a good title, right? All of us Christians are ministers of reconciliation. You know, we are agents of reconciliation. There's two opposing, you know, group, and we try to reconcile them through our examples, through our, you know, what we say and what we think and what we, you know, what we convey to them, and we become agents of reconciliation. Because okay? People around us are, there's a lot of broken relationship. You know, maybe kids don't talk to their fathers. Or mother, or even children don't talk to each other because of certain situations, right? Maybe something has been said and someone has been offended. Or maybe the kids, the parents died and the inheritance was divided and it's not a fair division according to somebody or everybody. So, a lot of things, you know, broken relationship, two opposing things, you know, broken relationship, and Christians, the church should be a vehicle of reconciliation, you know. Talking about relationships, you know, they said in the U.S., 50%, more than 50% of marriage end in divorce, more than 50%. This is a survey around 1980s. So I don't know the system, the statistic nowadays. Maybe come higher or I don't know, or steady. But they say in the U.S. more than 50% end up divorced. You know, families are broken. Not to mention those people who are living together. And then living together a lot of years and then separate. What are we doing, church? You know? What are we doing? The Bible said, blessed are the peacemaker. There's opposing group and we have to be there for them. We have to say something for them. We don't say, oh, I just leave you alone. You're adults. You're grown enough. You went to school. You finished college. You have a good job. So figure it out. No. We don't say that. We are agents of reconciliation. We have to be in the midst of those situations. They have to hear something from us. We just don't stare at them and say, oh, these people are adults already. No, we have to say something. We have to do something and tell them, you know. We have to reconcile their situation. Because if they live in that situation, you know, and then come up the end, what will be our message to this world? That we don't care? No. We care. You know why? Because we are enemies of God before, right? And Christ called us. And God said, I'm with you right now. I don't want to be your enemy. I don't want to be apart from you. That's why God called you. So God, through Christ, reconciled, you know, our differences with God. Now we are children of God. Right? He not only accepted us and reconciled us, but He accepted us as children of God. We are the children of God now. We're not the enemy anymore. We are the recipient of reconciliation. So in that way, we have also a vehicle for situation like that. I was blessed before we got married, my wife and I, 1986. We got a good man of God that performed our wedding. But beforehand, we have a seminar for young couples that time. So those lessons, those, you know, studies that we have, I still got them in my life right now, and it helped me a lot. We've been married for more than 30 years. I know it's not a perfect marriage, but a lot of things I learned because I attended those, you know, preventive mission. Sometimes there's a quotation, is an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. That's a good quotation. That's a good thing to follow. You know, as a church, as a body of Christ, as a, you know, as a recipient of reconciliation from God, we ought also to be agents of reconciliation. Because God reconciled us to Him. We're not enemies from God now. Because we are children of God. That way we can prevent those things to happen. Prevention is sometimes the best cure. You know, before things, before groups will be opposing each other, we will tell them, this is what you do. This is what Christ did to me. So I'm sharing to you what Christ did to me. So that when they come to the point that they are discussing something and not agreeing to something, they will remember what you said. They will see our examples. Young couples will see our examples. People who wanted to get married the next couple of years will see all those couples. You know, they told us like this. You know, their life is this. They were married for more than 50 years and still going strong. Why? What's the reason behind that? 50 years going strong. Why? Because Christ is in the middle of them. You know? God's reconciliation is over there. I know that. Been there, done that. My wife and I, it's a living something we discuss. We cried. I mean, we cried. You know? We discuss. We pray. And God helps. God is there. We are a recipient of His reconciliatory act. when he sent his, Christ, his son, Jesus Christ, in our midst. That's why we become peacemakers, because Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, remember Isaiah? He is the Prince of Peace. Right? Everlasting God, Prince of Peace. As Him. He is the author of reconciliation. And we are the recipient. Can we say to the person next to us that you are a peacemaker? Can you say to not a troublemaker, okay? Don't say troublemaker, let's say peacemaker. Right? We can say that, right? We can say that to our friends, to our Christian brothers, you are a peacemaker. Because we have Christ. Christ is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of real reconciliatory act when he sent his son Christ in our midst. So we are peacemakers. We are ministers. We are ministers of reconciliation. Alright, don't forget. Don't forget that, my brother and sister in Christ. That's why, you know, we are blessing. Because of God's love, we become, you know, recipient of Christ's reconciliation, the reconciliatory act. And then the next verse that we have to read today is, blessed are, go down to that verse. Okay. Blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let me ask you a question. When you do good, when you say good things, when you say the right things and do the right act, does people appreciate you? I mean,
sometimes,
right?
Whether they do so or not, they just do it for the Lord.
Yes,
whatever
yes.
Whatever you do to the rest of my brethren, you're doing it to me. Jesus said.
May I add something?
Okay, go ahead.
Like if you do good, other people will not appreciate it. You know, maybe because you're just doing it as a show off, things like that. Instead of continue to do good. Because in the final analysis, it's between you and your God, and not between them. That's a word from Mother Teresa. Continue to do good. It's between God.
Yes. But a lot of times, when you do the right thing, people will judge you, right? Because this world is a fallen world. Sometimes, a lot of times, people call good evil and evil good. You know? They tend, and sometimes the worst part is sometimes they call you, they address you as bigot. When you say the right thing and you stand for it, they call you negative way. You know? Because the righteousness of God is different from the righteousness of our culture. Yeah. It's different. You know, they will persecute you. They will judge you. You know? They'll do everything to undermine what you're doing. You know? They spread, you know, wrong things about you. You know what I said that? Because Christ experienced the same thing. And he told us, you will experience persecution. You know, people will not accept you. People will not, say yes to what you ever say. People will find different things from us. You know? There are people who are so determined to stop you and persecute you and tell you things that you never heard. people around the world, just a lot of Christians are being persecuted as I speak. Right now we are okay. I mean, we're good. We can gather together. We can talk about Jesus Christ every day if we wanted to. But other parts of the world, they can't.
Because of envy,
the closer
you are to God, the harder the devil works.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yes, that's true. The harder testing and trials will come. You know, we live in a fallen world. That's why people are being persecuted because of Christ's righteousness. They don't want to hear about Christ, and we are blessed that we have a place like this. And in other parts, there'll be, you know, there will be persecution to the point of death. Remember Stephen? He was preaching and he was stoned to death. And we can read all those things in the Bible account that they were persecuted. But they never stopped. They never stopped. And their examples was a blessing to us. You know why? Because if they stop, I don't think we will be here worshiping Jesus. I don't think the early Christian, if they stop when the kings of that time said, I will kill everybody who's following Christ and thrown into jail and be eaten by the lions who was hungry for a couple of days. You think if they stop, we won't be here? No, right? No, we won't be here. Gospel will never reach us, actually. The good news of, you know, of righteousness from God will never reach us. But because they endured, but because they continue, they persevere, that's why we are here. And now God calling us to be persevere also, to continue. Right? To go on. Continue living a righteous life. When I say a righteous life, continue living an example, you know, for everybody, so that everybody can also know forgiveness and reconciliation. That's why blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. A lot of people don't see that magnificent or extra. It's a good gift, but mind you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, kingdom of heaven. That's what He's giving you and giving me. You know, for us, maybe a lot of people, they say, oh, it's not a great price. I want a price that is like Jeff Bezos has, like a couple of $1 billion. That's the price. But mind you, it says kingdom of heaven. Mean to say, if we are being persecuted and then continue living a righteous life, God said, I didn't say it, God said, kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. Yes. It's more than we can think. Kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven. A place wherein we can be in Christ. I know it's not easy, my friends, I know that. Because this is a fallen world. But Christ promised to us that He will give us this. And when God promises, He will do it. Right? When God promises, He will do it. Because He is Christ. He is God. So let's maybe we prepare to sing the song of invitation. Next week we won't have a. We will skip the. Actually, the last part will be number 5 in this couple of verses.